So just think about that person that you knew, that knew Christ, and that transition from this life into glory. And let me ask this question. Do you think that they realize right now what they did when they were alive mattered in eternity? And that's true. They know the reality of that.
Welcome to Anchored into the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Anya thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Judgment Seat of Part 1.
Has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So your sins have been judged at Calvary, right? In the present, what's being judged? Your life. Every day, you should judge your life. Every day, you should get up and say, Lord, I want to do better today. Every day, you should get up and say, Lord, is there any sin in my life that I need to deal with? Every day that you get up, you should look to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I live a more righteous life? Every day, you are the judge. You are the judge of your life. At Calvary, the Father was the judge. He judged your sins he put them on Christ, and he judged your sins. But every day in the present, you should look at your life and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit to do better? That's why Paul said, examine yourself. Every day, there should be a self-examination. Why? Because you are the judge. All right. So now we move to the future. Our position will be a what? Steward. Now notice, in the past, our sins were judged. In the present, our life is judged. Oh, but in the future, at the judgment seat of Christ, our service will be judged. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the bema seat, when God judges your service. The place, as I said already, where were your sins judged? At Calvary, right? Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Your sins were judged at Calvary. In the present, where do you judge your life at? In your prayer closet. That's why Jesus said, go to your closet. Now, I don't think that Jesus literally meant go to a closet. He was using this as a metaphor for the place that you pray. So you are to go to your place of prayer and judge your life every day. You know, if you don't judge your life, nobody else is going to do it. Not like God wants you to do it. Now, they might judge your life. They might say, well, how come he still smokes cigarettes? Well, how come he listens to that kind of music? Or how come he is wearing that kind of outfit? You know, so other people might judge you that way, right? But they're not going to judge your life the way that you judge it. That, you know, you need to come and you in your prayer closet, and you need to open your soul before the Lord and be raw with God and say, Lord, have I been hypocritical? Lord, have I been judgmental? Lord, do I have bitterness in my heart? Do I have anger in my heart? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? That every day you need to come to the prayer closet and you need to judge your life. Because in the future, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, he's not going to, now it might, the way we live our life might affect our service, but he's not necessarily going to be judging your life. Christ is going to be judging your service. And where is he going to do that? He's going to do it at the judgment seat of Christ, which is what we're talking about. Who's the judge? Well, in the past, the Father was a judge. when he put our sins on Christ. He was the judge. In the present, who's the judge? You are. In the Holy Spirit, that you judge your life. You and the Holy Spirit. At the judgment seat of Christ, who's going to be the judge? Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. He's going to be the judge, right? And so what is the focus? In the past, it was on belief. That you might have had your own belief about how you were saved. You know, maybe you thought that if I do good works, I'm saved. Maybe you thought that if I buy Girl Scout cookies, I'll be saved. Or if I help little old men across the street, I'll be saved. So in the past, the focus was on belief. So you had to change your belief. And you had to change your belief and do what? And come to the realization that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So you had to come to that belief. In the present, what is the focus on? It's on your being. You becoming a better Christian. You becoming a better person. And then in the future, what is it going to be on? It's going to be on your behavior. Your behavior. All right. So I like this chart because it helps us to understand this whole idea of our sins, you know, our position, the judgments. If we understand this, we have a good understanding on the threefold judgment of the believer. So I would put that one somewhere. I would take, because it's in your notes, so I would maybe look at it and bring it out again from time to time and just focus on that and look at it and see what how that ministers to your spirit. All right. Who is the judge at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, as we've already said, it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the judge at the Bema seat. John 5, 26 and 27. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given it to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Acts 10, 42. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And he was commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick or the living and the dead. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So who is the judge at the judgment seat of Christ? None other than Jesus Christ himself. The junction, the junction is where it's going to happen, right? Where is this going to take place? You know, it reminds me of a song. Some of y'all might remember this song. It was by Shorty Long. There's going to be a function at the junction. Woo, that sounds like a good sermon, don't it? The believer's rewards, right? The believer's rewards. There's going to be a function at the junction. You know, if you remember that song, you know, he had somebody come and bring in barbecue. He had somebody from China come and bring in a Chinese dish. He had people coming from all over the world bringing their special food, right? A function at the junction. One day there's going to be a function at the junction. And that is the believer's reward when we come and we stand before Christ and we receive the reward for the things that we have done in the flesh. All right, now I pulled this and I just want to hit this real quick. This is from a pre-millennial standpoint, the future. This is the future from a pre-millennial standpoint. All right. So we see at the bottom, you are here. You are here. And where is that? That's the church age. So we are in the church age right now. All right. The next event, that red arrow going up, is the rapture. So we spent time talking about the rapture. And then what's going to take place here on this earth? 7 years of tribulation will take place here on this earth. But we won't have to worry about it, because we'll be raptured out. Now, when we go to heaven at the rapture, guess what we're going to be doing for those 7 years? We're going to, and I don't know how long it's going to take, right? But one of the things that we'll be doing is going to the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, while we're in heaven, and we will receive our rewards. And also, while in heaven, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then at the end of the 7 years, Christ is going to come back, the second coming, and this is the Battle of Armageddon, right, when he comes back. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign. Satan will be bound. And then Satan will be loosed at the end of the millennium. And then there'll be a final battle and the great white throne judgment, and then new heaven and new earth. But what I want us to see right now, because we're talking about the function at the junction, right, is that we're in the church age. And when the Lord comes back and raptures us out and we go to heaven, that sometime during that 7 year period, I believe, will be the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we will receive our rewards for the things that we've done. And then that will prepare us to come back and to live on this earth and rule and reign with Jesus Christ. All right. So let's review real quick. Okay, the Bema Seat, you know, okay, we got that, the incorrect views, the threefold judgment of the believer, the judge is Jesus Christ, and the junction, the place where it's going to happen, is going to be in heaven during that 7 year tribulation period here on this earth. All right. So let's look at, and we'll finish with this today, and I'll finish up next week. Now, you don't want to miss next week. And the reason that you don't want to miss it is, how do you know if your works are going to have any value in eternity? Wow. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. How do we know if our works will have value in eternity? So that person that sings in the choir, right? And they're singing with all their heart to the glory of God. And you got another person in the choir that's singing, and they're just singing because they got a good voice and they want to show off their voice. All right. Who do you think will be rewarded in eternity? You know, they both came to choir practice. They both sang on the same Sunday. They both sang from the same music, right? Who do you think is going to be rewarded? We're going to talk about that next week. You don't have to answer. We'll talk about that next week. But what are some of the works that will possibly be entered into the journal that you have? All right. Christ is keeping a journal on every believer. Now, again, whether it's a literal or figurative journal, you know, I'm not sure. You know, he don't need a literal journal. I mean, you know, he's God. You know, he probably has all this stuff, you know, just stored away in his being, right? So that when you stand before him, you know, he brings up all these things and lets you know what you're going to be rewarded for and what you're not going to receive a reward for. Jesus said in Revelation 2:23, I am he that searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So You want to be rewarded for your works. That's why, if I go back to that first slide, what we do down here matters in eternity. What we do down here matters in eternity. Possible works. How you treated other saints. How you treated other saints. Matthew, and these scriptures are recorded in your notes. Matthew 10, 41 through 42. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So, saints, we need to be careful how we treat other believers. You know, it's sad that sometimes you look at the way believers treat each other and it just breaks your heart. And realizing that we're going to be rewarded for how we treat other saints. Sometimes saints fall out and they treat each other bad. And just keep in mind that when you do that, you may be affecting your eternal reward. And so that's why we need to treat the saints. Now, again, I'm not saying that we need to give them $100 every week or something like that. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to treat, if we see others in need, especially of those of the household of faith, right? Now, I'm saying everybody, but especially those of the household of faith, if we see them in need, then, you know, we need to try to meet that need. So one of the possible works that we will be judged on is how we treat other believers. Notice Jesus said, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He shall in no wise lose his reward. Second is how you use your talents. How you use your talents. We all know the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Lord gives us talents to use in our service for him. These talents come in many forms: money, ability, time, etc. If we wisely invest them in our service for him, we will be rewarded. So at Bethany, we have something that we call the three T's: the time, talent, and treasure. You know, time. You know, are you giving a significant portion of your time to the Lord? Talent. Has God gifted you? You know, maybe he has gifted you with an ability. You know, I'm not even talking about spiritual gifts. That's another subject altogether. But God, maybe he has gifted you with an ability. Are you using that ability to glorify him? And then by all means, treasure. That if God has blessed you financially, then he's going to hold us accountable for how we use our treasure. So that will be your talents will be something that you will be, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that he will look at. How you handle temptation. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So another thing that we will be judged on at the Bema seat is how we handle temptation. I like this one right here. How we discipline ourselves. How we discipline ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, how you discipline yourself. Know you not that they that run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain. Oh, remember I was talking about the Bema seat, right? And they stood before it and they got that royal leaf, that laurel wreath. Look what it says here. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. What's the corruptible crown? The corruptible crown, like those roses that fade, that wilt up. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but notice what he says here. But we an incorruptible, that when you receive rewards here at the believer's judgment, that you are receiving an incorruptible reward. It will not fade in all eternity. This war, that's why I say what you do here matters in eternity, that some people believe that your rewards will follow you throughout eternity. All right. So we do it to obtain a incorruptible. All right. So I'll stop reading there. Finally, we will, a possible work is how you endure persecution. How you endure persecution. Notice what it says here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So whenever you go through persecution, instead of going through it with a woe is me attitude, and I'm preaching to Pastor Blaze. You see, I got my hand up. Now I want y'all to see it. Because I know sometimes when you end up going through persecution, you know, you have that, oh, woe is me. I can't believe this is happening to me, right? But Jesus said that when you are persecuted, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. That there's a reward that awaits you. So here's some possible works that will be judged when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So real quick, just real quick review. This is called either the believer's rewards or the judgment seat of Christ. Either name works there. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. The Greek word bema, remember that word bema, that actually was the podium that where the winners in athletic events came to get their reward. Incorrupt views, not a time to determine salvation and not a time of punishment. Then this, I love this chart. You know, I could go over this chart again, but I'm not going to do it. But I love that chart right there. And then the judge is Jesus Christ. The junction, it will happen sometime while the tribulation is taking place here on this earth. And then some of the possible works that might be entered into the journal. All right, that's the first half of the believer's rewards or the judgment seat of Christ.
Thank you for joining in next time for the first half of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, incurredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources, visit incurredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Incurred in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, incurredinjesus.org, or send it to Incurred in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is incurredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Incurred in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Incurred in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.